All today's right. discussion is going to be 60% target related.
Oh.
Bullseye got the loudest applause.
That's just weird.
Hello and welcome to the Park Stop Podcast, episode 15. We have a big episode today. We'll be talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge grand opening and lots of news coming out of the D23 Expo.
All right. So, what's the first thing you have to say?
Huh? I don't know.
You got the notes. You wrote them.
Oh, shirts.
Yay, shirts.
We have Park Stop t-shirts available at our new Teespring store. teespring.com/stores/theme-park-stop. Easy to remember URL.
Yeah, simple. Easy. So simple. That's stores with an S too, kids, by the way.
Yeah. But we just got a couple options on there right now for like the Park Stop logo. One of them says the Rumor Crew on the back. So you can join the Rumor Crew.
And then we'll have more coming. We have more ideas, some fun ones to put up there.
And I put a couple things up there like mugs and stuff, but that's mostly just because I wanted to order them. You don't have
order them. Yes, you do, because Alicia wanted them. So we have mugs. How many ounces are the coffee mugs, by the way?
I have no idea. I'm waiting for it to arrive.
Oh, I was going to say you don't have it yet.
No, but I got the shirt. I love the shirt, the regular logo shirt. It's really comfy. We got they're the premium ones.
Yeah, the nice shirts, because we care. All right, so enough of the fun. I really want to know how Galaxy's Edge, because I know you went. I know you went because I saw the posts.
Yes, I went opening day, opening morning, Disney's Hollywood Studios. What's crazy is I was following, like, the day before or the days before, I kept asking Disney, so how early are we allowed to park? And they would always be like, an hour before the park opens is normally when we open the park. And I'm like, okay, what you normally do is not what matters here. What are you going to do for the grand opening of this new land? No one was clear on it. So I, instead of sleeping like a moron, I spent most of the night just looking on my phone at Twitter to see when people were arriving. my plan was originally to get there around 3:30 in the morning because the land was opening at 6 a.m. It's not like 9 o'clock normal opening. This was a 6 a.m. opening. And then eventually I think we learned that they were going to open the parking lot around 4, but people were lined up all the way from the walkway from the Boardwalk Hotel just waiting like they'd Ubered in.
That's crazy.
And they were waiting since like 1 o'clock at night. So they were the first like
that's crazy.
Couple thousand that's- people to get in. I timed it so I could pull up right around the time the parking was opening, around 3:45-ish. Mm-hmm. And I parked and it was already packed. Place was packed. But what was cool is that they were letting people into the park and holding them and then moving them forward and then holding them. So the line wasn't all the way out. Like we could go through security well before they were opening the park.
That's cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Like they actually cared that, you know, how things were going.
I think they technically opened the land at 5 instead of 6.
Yeah, like I saw
5:15.
Yeah, I saw some posts where people said they were in about an hour early. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so like it was a 45-minute soft opening we got.
So long line, got there early, way too early for anyone to be at a theme park technically, but everyone was excited.
Haven't been up since 8 o'clock the day before. Yeah, no big deal. 8 o'clock.
So now one of us actually got to walk through Galaxy's Edge as opposed to just trying to base everything off of what we heard.
Okay, I really liked it.
Yes.
And I kind of went in wanting to not like it, but like my expectations were really low, I guess. But no, I was really excited. I'm excited for new things. And this is a big new land. And it is big. It is really big. Like,
that's good.
I actually got lost a little bit because we were in line to get into the land for so long. And then once we got in, we're like, well, we could go to the shops or we could stay in line and be in line for the ride. And I'm like, well, I haven't done the ride yet because some of the people I met up with Seth Kapersky, mm-hmm. who is awesome, by the way. I happened to see him right as I was getting to security and he let me tag along with his group for most of the day. So that was great. So I had someone to talk to because it was just me. Yeah, and he let me be the pilot on that Millennium Falcon. So I'm super grateful. But we're in line for so long, and I stop it. The first thing I do is I buy one of those stupid thermal detonator Cokes. because I'm super thirsty, which was good that I did while we were in line. We like passed, there's a little kiosk that's a new Coke kiosk they don't have in Disneyland with like a droid attached to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw them. They look cool.
And no one noticed you could actually buy, this is only 5 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, hey, are you open? Can I buy a soda? So I bought a Diet Coke. Those bottles are cool, but they're not very handy to hold. I think I dropped it three times. I can't like put it in my pocket or in my bag. It's just weirdly shaped. The waters, however, love the water shape. So that was the first thing I did because that's what you do. But then I had to go to the bat. I had to go to the refresher. Excuse me. So I step out of line and they're holding my spot. And this is the first time I'm really actually seeing the land because we've been kind of on the outskirts in queue. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking around and I'm realizing this place is absolutely massive. And it's still dark out because, you know, it's 4 o'clock in the morning or whatever, 5 o'clock in the morning. So it's absolutely pitch black dark out. And I find out where the bathroom is, the refresher is. And then I keep walking a little bit because I realize, you know what, let's just take a little look around. And I was blown away by, oh man, what's the, is it a TIE fighter? The bad guy ships?
Yeah, there's TIE fighters.
There's one set up in the corner of the land, and it is probably four times bigger than I was expecting. Pictures don't do it justice. Like, this thing was really big, like taller than Millennium Falcon off the ground big. So I'm like, whoa, this place. And I took a couple pictures while it was nighttime. But yeah, so then I went to the bathroom. I think it was...
Refresher.
Which had DJ Rex playing in it. So that was the highlight of my, yeah, that was, and the air conditioning was cold because it was hot, even though it was nighttime. That was the best part of the night so far.
morning.
But I think, yeah, the morning. I left the house at 2 a.m. So, you know. But yeah, we waited a few hours. They had routed the line all the way to Toy Story Land and then back in. They routed it through backstage behind the Millennium Falcon, which was neat to see like behind the fake mountains. Mm-hmm. But we got on the ride, I think like at 8 o'clock. So technically a 3 hour wait for the ride alone once the land actually opened.
That's pretty crazy. Was it worth it?
Yes, actually. That might be the longest I'll ever, that'll be the longest that line will ever be for that ride. Because after that, it's actually been really good about capacity.
Yeah, I heard it goes pretty quick. The lines move pretty quick.
Yeah, so... Strange, some of the negatives about the queue for that ride is most of it's outside. And even when you're inside, it's kind of open air. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem like there's as much inside queue as something like Flight of Passage. Like they did not put that much queue inside. It's very strange.
That's a shame.
So that whole Falcon fence situation, that's where the queue wraps around when it's outside the building.
Whoa. Yeah, I'm going to melt. And the upstairs, right? The overlook, is that that's still... Sort of half.
That's inside. That's where the AC really kicks in.
Okay, good.
And there's glass on those windows.
Yeah, I was going to say it looked like there was glass, but I wasn't sure now. So yeah. Wait, you got the pilot. Wait, hold on. How was the Hondo animatronic in person?
That was really good. Yes. Although when I zoomed in my camera, I could see that the lips are kind of funny, but the animatronic moves very smoothly and it turns like it turns its whole body. Hondo mm-hmm. turns towards you and turns to the side. And I thought that was pretty good.
That's awesome.
We've come a long way from Ben Franklin kind of walking upstairs.
All right. Now, you were a pilot. Which side? What'd you do? Up, down, left, right?
I chose left pilot. I wanted to go side to side. I let Seth's friend who hadn't ridden, he also hadn't ridden. I let him do the actual light speed throttle. But that's, I figured, you know, I want to sit up front, but I also want less responsibility.
How could you not want to hit the light speed, though? Everybody should want to do the light speed.
He seemed like a bigger Star Wars fan than me. And also, I was going to try to hold a camera while I was doing
trying
it.
Trying to steer?
Yeah. Some of the cool things about the ride that I didn't like, what really impressed me is you have to like hit a combination of buttons to get the panels to turn on, no matter what seat you're in. And it's just so satisfying to see everything go like power up. Like, for some reason, that was the highlight of the ride for me. Like,
that's awesome.
In the middle of the ride, too, like at one point you fall down and everything kind of powers down and you have to, everyone in their seats has to power things back up, but like fast this time because you're in the middle of the ride. And it's like just so satisfying when everyone gets it and it goes. So
cool. That sounds fun. I'm glad.
No, it was actually a lot of fun.
How well did you do? How much of the ship was left when you got off?
I think the ship was pretty damaged, but we still earned a lot of credits because we got 2 barrels of coaxium. And I mean, there was one part where I wasn't steering that good because I was caught up in it. But, like, he says, like, take evasive maneuver. And I thought I was so cool. It was like, vroom, like I flew all the way out of the, like, away from the missiles and stuff. It was it's fun. But also, if you're paying attention, it teaches you how to do it while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells you exactly what to do. So it's not like too complex. I mean, unless you don't speak English, and then in which case you have no idea what's going on. you know what awesome. I really appreciated was that there's technically 2 pre-shows.
Yeah.
And the first is the animatronic, which I think is supposed to already be talking when you enter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 2 minutes. And it's fast and it's entertaining and there's stuff going on. And like there's a droid, and Hondo's talking to the droid, then Hondo's talking on the phone, Hondo's talking to Chewie. The Millennium Falcon lands behind him and you go through. And it happens, like a lot's going on, but it's also really fast. And then the second one is just a little tiny TV screen right before you enter the cockpit.
Yep.
And that one, like I didn't even get to hear the whole thing before it was time for us to go in. But that one's just telling you like your mission, which if there was war missions, maybe in the future, it would, you know, that would be helpful because then you know what mission you're going to go do.
And they could do that, right?
So like compare that to the Pandora Flight of Passage guy who's just sitting there. It's like, and fly. We're going to get you. And like, you'll be linked to a Banshee. And like, it's just so repetitive and over again. And it's like, it makes me not want to ride that ride because it's a 6-minute pre-show and then a 4-minute pre-show. And sometimes you can get stuck in there. But this mm-hmm. was like, boom, 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 let's go.
That's awesome. I like that.
Even being in the chess room.
Yeah.
And like, there was just enough time to sit and get a photo at the table. And then it was time to go. So I like that it was boom, boom, boom.
Just going to stay there. Just going to stay in the chess room and relax like the ship's
I wonder if you can, because it's kind of like the Jimmy Fallon ride where you get the ticket and mm-hmm. you have a color code. And Jimmy Fallon, you could easily just say, no, I'm going to wait till next time. So I wonder if this time, if you're like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to hang out in here.
Yeah, I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to move in. Okay. So the ride's good. You had fun. Did you get any, was the ship damaged enough to get trash talked?
Yeah, it was, you know, sparking at the end. It was like, bzz, bzz,
bzz, yeah, but did you like get trash talked? Because I kind of want to be trash talked at least once if I do poorly.
Kind of. He's like, oh, you did good. You got lots of credits. Let's do a let's check on the ship. Oh, that's not good. Oh, no, that's not good either. That's still not too bad. Oh, life support systems. Oh, that's not good. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, by the way, I like Hondo. Yeah. I've never seen a cartoon show. I am a fan of Jim Cummings, though, so maybe that has something to do with it. But it was a fun host. And even the live action version wasn't as jarring once you actually get used to it.
Yeah. He seems fun. He seems like a good choice for that.
Yeah. And like when you don't do something right, I like that he's the one telling me I'm not doing it right. Like he's funny when he does it. Like when I'm supposed to be following the train and he's like, pilots, follow the train. And it's like, come on, let's go. Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry.
That's awesome. So fun.
Yeah. I think he did a great job. And I think they did a good job of, I know people were complaining that like, why pick such an unknown character or whatever. And it's like, well, first of all, if you like the cartoons, he's not an unknown character. Second of all, you know, Rex, your pilot on Star Tours is made for the ride.
Exactly.
And they, like, Rise of the Resistance, too, is going to have the girl character as the main character. I think that's just, you know, or even like Gringotts, the, you know, the Weasley brother that no one knows is the host of the ride and a made up goblin that's not in the movies. Like, I think there's something good about having an unknown host for the ride. That's so he's the star of the ride, you know?
Yeah, well, it makes it
as opposed to
it makes it more like you're in the adventure with some like doing something else while the people you know are doing something else. That kind of works too.
Although Chewie chimed in every once in a while, if you're breaking the ship, he gets a little upset.
Yeah, I would imagine. I like that. Can't understand what he's saying, but he's barking at you
the whole time in the queue. It's like, well, welcome to Onaka Transport Solutions, a completely legitimate business.
That's cool. Oh, it's so great. That's great.
And there was pork nests everywhere in the queue. you have to like look for them, but they're hidden, but there's pork nests. So it was exciting. Next time I want to do the data pad thing, because there's little things you can scan the whole time in case you're bored.
That's cool. Yeah, Adam will be excited to hear about the porks. Sorry, I'm tired. His last name.
Every once in a while you can hear them too.
His last name is similar to porg, and I call him that kind of. So
anyway. And I had a porg on my shoulder the whole morning.
Oh, nice.
Little shoulder porg. I named him Alexi. He likes cherry Slurpees. And like Bob Chapek says that all the cast members have their own backstory, and that's why they don't need entertainment. Apparently the backstory is just complaining about porgs when they see them on my shoulder. 8 different cast members throughout the morning was like, I don't know if you're aware of this, but you have a porg on your shoulder. We have an infestation here. You got to be careful.
You're like, yeah, where do you think I got it? I just picked it up.
And then like the people in the queue area for Millennium Falcon are like, we have an infestation. Those things are dangerous. And then out in the land, they're like, are you going to eat that?
Amazing. That's going to be good. All right. So tell me about the food. What did you try? I hear Ronto Roasters is delicious.
Ronto Wrap is the real e-ticket here. It's really good. It's weird.
Yeah, it looks weird.
Because it's like a hot dog that tastes like a kielbasa wrapped in a pita that has a piece of meat in the pita in addition to the hot dog. And I don't know what it is. I'm assuming alien pork meat.
Alien pork.
And it's got a sauce and it's got a slaw and it's spicy. But like not in a hot sauce way, more like in a pepper way.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Everyone I know that's tried it said they liked it. I'm curious now.
I thought it was going to be like a snack. I'm thinking like this is a snack credit type food. The thing is like $14. It is a meal. It's a quick service meal. I mean, it's all in a wrap and there's no plate, which is annoying because like how do I – like what if someone ordered 4 of them? Just, here, take these. They just hand it to you in little papers.
Just walk away.
So I was going to get more food at Docking Bay later, but I was still full from the Ronto wrap because it was so big. So I ended up getting just the shrimp noodle salad thing, which is what I wanted to try. And it is cold. It was a little bland. I think it needed a sauce. So Seth actually suggested that I go get the kids meal sauce because they have a kid's shrimp and it has like a mandarin orange marmalade sauce. It's almost like an Asian sauce. So I put that over it and then instantly it was delicious.
Oh,
so
that's
I think
cool.
It needs that.
It's a good little trick.
If you order either order the kids shrimp or if you order the full size one, get the orange sauce on the side. Sporks. They have the sporks.
For now.
And they are some heavy duty silverware. Besides the fact that it's like super heavy, but like perfectly weighted. Like I felt like Thanos holding it in my hand. Like it's like perfectly balanced. The fork part is really sharp, so it's a decent fork.
So as quickly as they disappear from Disneyland, you'd think they would just start making them and selling them. It seems like a no-brainer to me.
Really? Yeah, it seems like a mistake. They shouldn't even have them in Docking Bay 7 unless you buy them. And like it comes in a little package.
Yeah, they should just be selling them. I mean, they vanished
You can find them on eBay for $130.
Yeah, exactly. No, thank you. I'd rather pay $20 to Disney and not $100 to somebody else.
And the eBayers are claiming that you're allowed to take them.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like those articles you see, like best free souvenirs at the theme parks. And it's the butterbeer potted cream mason jars at Leaky Cauldron. And I've asked, you're not supposed to take those.
No.
And I asked about the sporks. You're not supposed to take those.
Of course not.
So,
but people do.
Just because they hand it to you on a plate. Do you take the plates too? You know, the plates are ceramic. Do you take those also because they're on your tray?
I'm sure somebody does.
They're kind of big. I do like the plates at Satouli Canteen, but that's the thing too. So far from the food I've had, I still think Pandora has the edge. I think it's a better value. I think it's more food. I think it's better food, but I've only tried one thing at Docking Bay 7. So, and the dessert was okay, but it was a bun. I was expecting a cake and it was like a filled bun. So I was a little disappointed.
That's weird. That sounds interesting though.
It was very alien. Definitely everything is very alien looking. But like not like a Satouli Canteen where it's alien but looks appetizing. It's more like alien and looks gross. Like I felt like I was eating weird worms with my shrimp dish instead of noodles.
That's just
there's something
not right.
Alien about it.
That's not right at all.
But I'll try the ribs and the giant chicken nugget. What's it called?
The yub nub?
No.
Oh.
Tip yip.
Oh yeah, the tip yip.
Yeah, I'll try the tip yip and the cadu ribs or whatever next time and skip the ronto. I'll try to skip the ronto because it's too filling.
Ridiculous names. Ridiculous names. All right, which milk did you try?
I tried both milks.
Do you like either of them?
I like the blue milk. I genuinely like it. I drank the whole thing, but it does taste like soap.
So it tastes like soap, but you like the blue milk.
I still liked it. Yeah, it was a pleasant weird. Tropical soap. The texture wasn't bad. I thought it was nice. It was like it's not full on smoothie and it's not full on. It didn't taste like rice milk so much. I think the coconut milk sweetened it in a good way. And the mouthfeel wasn't that bad on it.
The mouthfeel returns.
The green milk, which is clearly yellow. I don't know who they're trying to fool. It doesn't even look like we just had it in the last Star Wars movie. Could we not make it look like that? Is it not that? Is it just too difficult? Did taste testers say it looked ugly, so we made it yellow? I don't get it.
Did you mix them?
I did not mix them. No. Oh. As soon as I took a first sip of the green milk, I was instantly transported into Flight of Passage where you pass over the weird stampede and you smell dirt grass. The dirt grass scene. Or on Soarin' over Africa when you smell like the elephant throws the dirt in your face and you smell dirt. That scent is in the green milk. And I'm not exaggerating. That. It is grass that. Dirt.
Yeah, I heard it tastes a lot like grass.
And it's unfortunate because it has a good flavor otherwise. Like it's almost pina colada type tropical yummy and grass dirt.
Maybe they tried a little too hard. They're like, let's just put like all these flavors in here.
I think what they did is they like, look at the face that Luke makes when he drinks green milk. Let's make people make that face. So you kind of drink it and then you go, ugh. You make a face like this is nourishing but disgusting.
That'll make all the money.
They try too hard to be realistic. That one has more of a slushier, like icy feel to it. There's something smoother about the blue one.
So you're down with the blue milk, the soap.
Drank the whole thing. Liked it. It was refreshing.
Soap. Okay, now I know what to get you for Christmas.
It's like a laundry detergent.
Liquid soap. All right.
But it's still not even – I'm not even that big a fan of butterbeer.
Yeah, yeah.
I like frozen butterbeer. I like butterbeer ice cream. I like butterbeer potted cream. I even like butterbeer fudge, but the butterbeer itself is just cream soda with a yummy topping. So this, even the blue milk, which I liked, was still only like, I would say half as good as regular butterbeer. And I'm not even that big a fan of butterbeer.
I like butterbeer. I think it's a little too expensive for what it is, but I still like it.
This was $8.
Yeah, I know.
For soap milk.
I know. Frozen or slightly frozen soap milk in the color of blue.
I will get the blue one again about as many times as I get normal butterbeer, like once or twice in my lifetime. But it's not like I get frozen butterbeer and I get night blossoms often. Like those are things I will buy, you know, every couple times I visit the parks. This is not that kind of thing.
So they still don't have their butterbeer.
No.
Shocker.
No. I'm sure everyone's going to try one of them. You know, the line was long. Actually, the line for everything was long on opening day. And they were handling it like a champ. Like Docking Bay 7, the line was all wrapped all the way around. And I thought it was going to be like a half hour wait. It was like a 5 minute wait.
Oh,
and they were
awesome.
Like, they were pushing out meals faster than I've ever seen any quick service push out meals. And it was all 100% accurate. It was, I told multiple managers, I was like, you guys are rocking it today.
Yeah, that's good. I heard everybody said the crowd management was awesome. So that's
it
good
really
to hear.
Was. I mean, considering how many people were there. And it's weird because, like, I wanted to hear the soundscapes and, like, judge the land, but it's hard to when there's so many people in the land.
Yeah. Then the other side of that was the people, trying to say that Universal did better because of the wait time and that whole, like, whatever nonsense that has
makes no real sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense anyway. It's a dumb thing to do.
I just go in by the quality of my enjoyment, and I had fun.
Exactly.
So walking around after going on the ride and eating. Oh, I went on the ride a second time. I did the single riders, and that was all the way out the door. What they'll do is when it gets out the door, they cut it off, like the little sign goes off. But as soon as it goes on, just hop on in and it could be anywhere from 10 to 30 minute wait. It's not bad. You will get engineer seat 90% of the time.
Of course.
I think I waited 30 minutes, but it was out the door when I got in line. And 30 minutes compared to 3 hours on opening day is not bad.
Not at all.
I liked engineering. I like being in the back row because you can see the screen, the viewport, the windshield better. You can see the full view of it. But also, I think it's rougher back there. The way the gimbal is,
being
in the back is more motion. So I actually enjoyed it. And it was less stressful not having to fly. But I did find myself yelling at the pilots. I couldn't help it. I was like, push the green button. Push that button. Listen. Pay attention. Watch out.
I did this once already. I know better than you.
Go right. Go right. So I'm a backseat driver. The looking to the right and pushing buttons is a little annoying. It really should be right in front of you.
Yeah, that makes
more
sense.
It would just make more sense.
The gunner, too, I would think. Even
the gunner's got to be the worst. The gunner is, you're either doing low, medium, high, or you're just doing the automatic one button. Either way, you're just going bang, 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 bang. At least engineering, it was like a puzzle where it would like something would break and then you have to hit a combination like doom, 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 boop, boop, boop. And then it like shows on the screen like boop, 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 boop. Like, I was like, oh, look, I fixed the ship. Like you feel like you completed something every time it happens. And if And if the pilots are doing good, you don't have much to do because there's not much repairs to be made except for like there's a booster or something or like a launching of a Gatling. Like, so every once in a while, it's like, you know, launch the Gatling, engineer, like, whoop, I press the button. So I liked it back there. Less stressful, a little more satisfying. I'd never want to be the gunner. It just looks boring.
Yeah, it sounds boring.
And painful to your fingers.
Tired arm. So what were your favorite things to do in there? What else did you go do? Any of the stuff in the marketplace? What'd you get into?
I did not get into Doc Ondar's and I did not get into the cantina. I figured the lines were too long. I was exhausted after being up for 2 days. I was going to save that for my next trip and kind of have something to look forward to next time I visit Batu. But walking around the marketplace and exploring the land, it's definitely bigger than even I was imagining. I know it was big, but for some reason I didn't realize that it would feel so big. Like you turn a corner and then it's a whole nother, it's like three lands in one. Because there's like the marketplace, the First Order area, and the Resistance, and then also the Millennium Falcon area. So like three areas and a ride. But I think my favorite part is the marketplace, and I would love the Space Morocco. I think I would like it a lot more if it didn't have people in it. But since there was a line for everything, the little pet store didn't have a line ever. So I like going in there. It's just a little tiny hole in the wall, but it has the sleeping loth cat.
Yeah, which is awesome.
And it is so cute. And like I kept going back and just looking at it sleeping with its little torn up porg. It's so cute.
Big old smile on its face.
It really was, yeah. But there's some fun stuff in there too, and they let you play with the pets and things. So, you know, that whole area is nice. I think people complain that there's not enough to see or do in the land without having to like pay an exorbitant amount of money for an experience. But even people, when I bring up Pandora, I'm like, there's not much to see in Pandora. It just has a good ride and good food. There's like in Pandora, there's the squirting creatures in the water and drums and Shorty Legs comes out in the robot suit. Like, that's it. There's nothing else to do in the land. And they're like, yeah, but it still feels more alive. And I was like, okay, I saw multiple droids. There's the guy the droid at Ronto Wrap. Mm-hmm. At Ronto Roasters, and he talks every once in a while about how he hates his job.
Yeah, I heard he does that. It's amazing.
And the big engine is like moving like crazy, and it catches your attention. There's the sleeping loth cat. There's weird creatures above the water fountains in those like tubes. If you go into Doc Ondar's, there's Doc Ondar. There's stuff moving around in the droid depot, which you can go in even if you're not building a droid. Of course, DJ Rex, like everything has something that's moving. And
you bought a DJ Rex, didn't you?
I did not buy a DJ Rex. I'm not.
What? I'm so disappointed. I figured you'd be saving for that.
Maybe one day. No, all my money was on food. I bought a lot of food, drinks, $18 in blue and green milk. or 16 something. Yeah, no, but I think there was a lot of going on in the land. I think what it's missing is like a shootout at the OK Corral, like every once in a while. I think an Old West style, two aliens shooting at each other would be so cool, like on a catwalk or something.
Yeah, it was supposed to happen.
Like, I just, can you imagine, like, he walks by you and shoves his way through and it's like, oh, I can't believe he's ripped me off again. And then they show up on the catwalk and it's like, you owe me 13,000 credits. You better give it to me now. I ain't giving you nothing. Boom, 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 boom. Like, that would be
stuck on your wild, wild, wild west stunt show again. But still, yeah, that was supposed to happen, though. That was in the plans originally.
Because we have Rey, Chewbacca, and Kylo Ren lands and comes out of the TIE fighter and there's tons of stormtroopers, and that's all great, but we're missing the Batuians themselves. We're missing the people that already inhabit, and Bob Chapek would say, well, that's the cast members, and I'm like, no, those are humans. I want some weird, I want Simon Pegg's character from what's it called, from Force Awakens. I want a weird blobby alien to walk by me every once in a while and get and like say something angry. That's all I want.
I want the gunfights on the roofs and everything else they were going to do, but Bob Chapek cut. So
maybe one day
all that stuff. Hopefully.
They brought in the exosuit guy in Pandora, so it's possible they'll bring in an alien or a droid.
I want to see the fights on the roofs. Just let them do it. It'd be fun.
I mean, if they had that scheduled out like every hour on the hour, like a Old West tourist town, like I would be so content.
So cool.
It's awesome. All it's missing. Although walking through, yeah, in the ride, I was gonna say walking into the resistance area, the outpost, which like the entrance is there and the wait time sign is there and the sound effects are on in the queue. And it's like, oh, just open it up, guys. Come on. There's waterfalls in the queue for that. So people were saying it needs like some kind of dynamic motion. And I'm like, it's there. It's just in the resistance area that no one goes to yet.
Well, that was supposed to be the other thing too. There's supposed to be like droid or, drones flying around with like supposed to look like spacecraft taking off and coming in.
Where did you hear that? That would be awesome.
That was supposed to happen. I think it was part of the, I forget where I heard it, but that was part of the original deal. That and the gunfights on the roof and all that stuff was supposed to be part of it.
A couple droids and a couple aliens and I think the land will be complete and a ride.
Thanks, Bob.
You hear me, Bob? Please, Bob, so I can stop talking junk about you. And a sit-down restaurant.
Well, that too. It is really well done, though. I thoroughly enjoy my first experience there, and it definitely is a place because it's already gotten to a point where like they were using the virtual queue for the first day, but it's already gotten to a place where you can just walk in. I think because it's so massive, like Diagon Alley versus Hogsmeade, like there's more room for bodies to be in there. I don't think we're going to have a problem just getting in there.
That'd be great, especially with another ride open too, with two rides functioning with all the experiences and stuff. I'm sure it won't be too bad in there.
Yeah, and there's a lot to do already more than like Pandora. Like Pandora has one gift shop. This has like 40. This has lots of opportunities. Oh, I got the Spira, the heavy coin gift card thing.
Oh, yeah.
Here's a little trick for you. Don't wait in a line to get your Spira. You could walk right up to Savi's and they're like, you can't go in here without a reservation. It's like, oh, I just want Spira. And then you just like walk right up and get it. They have a register outside. It was so nice.
That's great.
I mean, it's not gonna be a problem now, but opening day, that line for Spira was like 100 miles long. So that was a nice trick.
That is. It's cool.
I mean, anything it's free, else? Right? It's a gift card that if you're gonna spend the money anyway at Disney World, once it's gone, you have this really cool heavy coin. That's a great plus it feels neat, like you're spending credits and not money.
That's dangerous. It's probably by design. Anything else you got on there? That sounds awesome. I can't wait to get there.
No, I'm just looking forward to checking out the cantina. And I hear Doc Ondor's is like the best shop. So I'm glad that I saved those two. So I have something to look forward to. And also the ride. I'm looking forward to doing the ride like 5 or 6 more times. I mean, it could use more missions so that I would enjoy it forever. But I think it's a lot better than I was expecting.
That's good.
I went on Star Tours afterward, and it's like completely different because Star Tours is like going to the movie theater and seeing something with a group of people. And Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run is like a more intimate experience where like, you know, this, it's more like an escape room. Like we are working together and we're just these six people, and it's like our shared experience, and our experience will be different than someone else's experience. So it's definitely completely different, and it definitely felt fresh for a theme park attraction.
That's good to hear. I'm super stoked now. Like the original stuff we had heard, it sounded kind of meh, but I was still excited to try it. But hearing this from you, I'm excited even more.
Well, I like new things, but you know, I'm also not afraid to say if I don't like something.
That's why I'm taking your word and so excited.
I think people
now
are jaded or something. I don't know what they're expecting. I think it's fun. It's well done. There's really good lighting effects inside the cabin that I don't think people are noticing. And the sound design is really good. So like when something happens and there's a flash outside, there's a flash inside the cabin that is perfectly timed and then even moves across the room to match the stuff happening on. Like it's so well, I understand probably why they canceled the other missions, because they had to get this open on time, because it's not just what's on the screen. It is all timed special effects and sound and everything perfectly.
Yeah, hopefully we get those other missions sooner than later, but let's get Rise open first.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see one extra mission added at the year anniversary or something.
Yay.
Or it'll be like Star Tours and we'll have to wait 15 years. Either way, I'm looking forward to the day when we get more missions. But until then, I want to master this one.
Just a short wait. Just a short 15-year wait. It's no big deal. All right. And then we had other stuff while we were gone, too.
So, yes, the D23 Expo happened recently.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
We kind of put off our episode till after I went to Star Wars. It's going to be a jam-packed episode here. But yeah, there was a lot of stuff, but I think the parks panel was a little disappointing for some, but the Disney Plus panel was definitely a highlight for me.
So in general, this is the way I phrased it to the people I that asked me about it. I was already super, super, super stoked for all this stuff, including the parks panel. So I didn't really get more excited from it, which is unusual for me, but I am super excited for it. So even the Disney Plus stuff.
So it's clear that Disney Plus is mandatory. That no matter who you are, you must pay for it. What are you looking forward to most?
The Mandalorian. And
what are you looking forward to? Yeah, second most.
Second most would probably be the Imagineering stuff, that docuseries.
Do they talk about that at all?
I don't remember them talking about it much.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it.
I would say Moon Knight, but that's a ways off, so.
I would say the Ewan McGregor.
The Obi-Wan.
Obi-Wan. I'm looking forward to that the most, but we got a while on that. Yeah. We haven't started filming yet. I feel like they made that deal the week of, and they're like, hey, the internet wants this. Do you want to do it?
Yeah, Ewan's like, I want to do it, so can we do it?
Yeah, he did talk about how he wanted to do it. He's like, I'm game, so. That's awesome. I was the one highlight of the prequels for me.
What are you looking forward to the least?
The least?
Mm-hmm.
the secret announcement. The one the Disney Parks cast member docuseries and coffee table book.
So funny.
I think that it's just a weird propaganda film, and it doesn't really interest me.
If you want to know, guys, just ask a cast member.
Yeah, what's your life like?
Steph.
You put a Disney camera in front of your face, you're going to lie.
Of course. As far as Disney Plus, I think High School Musical, the musical, the series is probably not high on my list, personally.
You got to appreciate the naming, though.
It is amazing. I will give them that.
They went for it.
It's good. I like the name. It's not high on my list.
I'm going to really watch things that probably aren't even that good, like the
I'm going to watch it probably.
The Anna Kendrick, Bill Hader Christmas movie. I'll watch that.
Definitely Noel. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. The what's the series?
Yep, that's super clear.
they get people that were in musicals in high school back together and do musicals.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not too interested in that, but I will watch it probably.
I will watch it. Yeah, exactly.
It's like teasing people. Remember that thing you thought you wanted to do for the rest of your life? Here's your shot. Okay, now go back to work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Marvel stuff all looks good. I think that's where they're going to get people.
The world.
It's like, oh, you like Marvel? Well, guess what? Now we own you.
The world according to Jeff Goldblum. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's fine.
Whatever.
I mean,
it's going to be like, amazingly ridiculous is what it's going to be. Yeah. I can't wait.
It's like a travel show, right?
Yeah. I just want to see normal people trying to interact with him with stuff he doesn't care about, because that's when it gets funny.
Half the running time is just him going,
And back to the Marvel stuff, it's all MCU related, so people are going to have to watch it if they care about the MCU. So you're
well, trapped. The what if is kind of standalone, and that actually is refreshing in a way.
I mean, they're doing She-Hulk. Whoever thought that was going to happen?
If you're not going to do a movie, at least give us something. So
yeah, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, like just Miss Marvel's cool. I'm into all of that.
And I'm looking forward to Loki. I like that the prequel to Loki is one scene in Endgame.
Yeah.
And it's like he's looking around and he's like, ooh, she just disappears. That's it. Now we've set up a series. Did you remember the moment? He like picks up the Tesseract or whatever.
Tesseract and he just like, takes off.
He just is gone. It's like he just left into another series. And it's evil Loki.
Yeah,
from the Battle of New York. So, you know, like we forget character development. Let's have fun.
I think WandaVision sounds completely ridiculous, and I am so excited to watch that silly.
I'm still confused about that. What is this?
It's like a 50s sitcom mixed with, so 50s sitcom, even with like a noisy, annoying neighbor and stuff. So think like,
oh my God.
All that like I Love Lucy kind of stuff and all that. Like Kat Dennings, I guess, is in it. And I guess it's all going to tie into, I think that show is tied into Doctor Strange's multiverse.
Ooh.
So.
Yeah, no, I will watch all of them. What do you think about the episodic nature, weekly releases, as if it's regular TV and not the bingeable dumping?
As a fan, I'm kind of disappointed because I would just like to watch them whenever I want to watch them. But I think it's also kind of cool because it'll keep people from being stuck and maybe watching, trying more things.
And how many podcasts or YouTube weekly series will we see pop up due to the weekly nature of the programming, like The Walking Dead or even Westworld, The Good Place? All these things have an episode after the episode airs. So we're going to see thousands of new, all of a sudden, podcasts where people are like, all right, let's talk about last night's Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's fun. And we're going to kind of participate, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to do some of our own episodes, too. We'll at least do one whole episode when the whole thing launches, because we can't binge one show, so we'll just watch the first episode of every show.
Yeah, every show we can possibly get through. Also, I'm kind of excited for the Cassian Andor show because, you know, Tudyk. I love Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Especially as that droid. What is that? KT-8K? I can't remember it. K2SO. I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'm blanking. Are they all the,
yes.
But
he was the best part of that movie.
Yeah, he's awesome in almost anything he does. So what else are you looking forward to?
Just being able to put on, and they won't all be there at launch, but just being able to watch like classic animated films would be nice.
Yeah, that's good too. And the new, I'm so hopeful for the new Muppet show they're putting out.
I'm glad that the Josh Gad 80s sitcom Muppet Show seems to have fallen off the face of the earth, because I had no hope for that whatsoever. It sounded like the same kind of bad concept that the primetime show was.
Yeah.
So what's the new one? Like just more like improv skits?
I think it's more like the original show.
Yes. Variety is where they belong.
Yep. All right. So there's a lot in the Disney Plus stuff. And we're going to talk about a bunch. I think, like Alicia just said, we're going to talk about a bunch of these shows the first day it comes out, hopefully somewhere around there.
I'm excited to see it grow. I think it's going to take like 3 years to really flesh itself out. But because they have licensed deals with other streaming services and stuff, and they can't put all the movies and TV shows on there. But even like Phineas and Ferb is getting a movie, right?
Yep. I'm so excited for that.
I'm looking for, yeah, exactly. That's a show I love. So, yeah.
Monsters, Inc., they got a show. Everybody's got a show.
Oh, yeah.
You get a show, you get a show.
Lots of stuff. All right. So, yeah, we'll touch on that some more as we get closer. But the big news is, I guess, coming out of the Parks, Experiences, and Products panel on Sunday at the D23 Expo.
Yeah.
With our vice president of television and microwave programming, Bob Chapek.
Go home, Bob. You're drunk as usual.
That's a 30 Watt Rock reference because how do you, is the chairman of the parks, the experiences and merchandise?
It's just such a weird combination, but whatever.
I like to start with a quote.
Oh no.
Bob said,
oh,
here we go. Every inch of our parks should be magical. I believe that every attraction should tell a story that resonates with guests of all ages, which is why we're putting in more Disney, more Pixar, more Marvel, and more Star Wars into our parks.
He's horrible.
It's just one long sentence that says, IPs.
Yep. And again, to be fair, I say this a lot and people know that I'm not a big fan of Chapek, but to be fair and realistic, he does operate the way I would expect him to completely based on
his job.
Yeah.
It's his job. He was hired to do this. He's doing it. It's just weird to then be so proud of it. And like, he knows that we don't like the way he talks about it. So he's doubling down on it.
He's not good. Like, he's not good at speaking either. I don't think they should let him host.
2 months ago, 2 months ago, he said, like, if our competitors had this IP, they'd do the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Or 3 months ago. That's a weird way to, or he said, we don't judge success by 10 hour waits.
Yeah. Like, he's taking jabs.
So weird.
He's awkward.
It's like, just because you own Pixar and Marvel and Star Wars doesn't mean you have to flaunt the fact that you're going to utilize it.
Exactly. Just
make good attractions.
Yes, please. So,
what'd you think of the new footage from Rise of the Resistance? The little
I think it looks
preview.
Cool, but I think those things are like movie trailers that are misleading because they make them. They always make things look cooler than they are. But
there's
still
a lot of pyro in that three clips.
I mean, like I said before, like none of this stuff got me more excited. I'm already like level 11 excitement out of 10.
I mean, they could figure out a way to have a lightsaber come through the ground and melt the ground like
yes,
that
please.
Above your head, coming through the ceiling. Yeah, I'd be blown away. But or no,
just make a real lightsaber for me. I'll do it for you. It's okay.
You can kind of get the scope of the AT-AT scene in that clip. And that's what
that looks awesome.
Guys, that's really filmed in there. I mean, they added tons of special and visual effects, but
no.
But the AT-ATs themselves and the ride vehicles, and I love the droid sounds like R2-D2, so it's relatable. He's like screaming as you go through the halls. You're like,
I can't wait for that ride. Cannot wait for that ride.
All right, so
bunch of Disneyland stuff.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about everything. There's a new parade because if it's Disneyland, there's a new parade every 6 months. Runaway Railway is, they gave us just some new concept art.
They have a cool theater name for that. I like that. I
think it El Capitune?
Yeah, it's so good. It's perfect.
But it's not opening in Toontown at Disneyland until 2022, and we're getting it in Hollywood Studios next year. It showed it got a huge applause. It showed the marquee for the Chinese theater here at Hollywood Studios. And it's like, yeah, they put neon up. Okay. Like someone had to draw the whole Chinese theater from scratch just to put a little neon in the middle.
Yep. It looked good. What do you think about this Avengers Campus thing? Like as far as a name, we'll start there.
Well, they can't use the word Marvel, so I think that's the second best thing they could do.
I think the campus thing is a little awkward sounding, but hey, it's cool. Whatever.
It's like it reminds me of like working at Google and calling it a campus. It doesn't remind me of college. It doesn't feel like I'm going to Avengers College.
Yeah, it doesn't
sound more like a business.
Yeah, I was gonna say it sounds like we're going to work and not actually doing something fun. But hey, whatever. It is what it is.
Hey, they're going to have the first ever Spider-Man themed attraction in a Disney park.
Supposed to be cool. Like you're supposed to be able to do the web motion with your arm or something, supposedly.
Yeah, I've been on Ninjago at Legoland, and I can tell you your arm gets tired and it doesn't work very well. But
shocker.
Hopefully Disney has figured out a better, because they do it with sensors at Ninjago.
Oh, yeah.
I think if they did it with a camera system, it would be more accurate, like a three-dimensional camera system, like because you're supposed to be able to do like 5 different karate chops on Ninjago, but you end up just waving your arms back and forth because nothing seems to matter.
Well, the cameras work too because the vehicles look pretty enclosed, so that would probably work
right.
Well.
That's why I think exactly. The funny thing is like Spider-Man has the best villains of like all the comic books. It's like the most popular comic book character.
Yeah,
and we're battling spider bots.
Yeah, it's weird. I think they did what they could, but it's weird.
they're trying not to do anything that Universal did. And since Universal has the Sinister Six, I guess they're just going to do spider bots.
Yeah, seems odd, but it is what it is. I'm not too upset about it.
The open house looks exactly like the Institute or the Imagination Institute.
It does.
Like, exactly.
Yeah, it does. That's great.
Do you think it's going to be 3D Midway Mania, or do you think it's going to be, like, there's rumors that it's augmented reality?
Either way would be cool. I think augmented reality would bring a whole new, like, webbing motion thing into the conversation.
Because they're definitely wearing spider goggles in the concept art. But like, we saw a leaked concept art from Walt Disney World News Today that shows the sets. And it looked like plain, realistic sets and not like screens. So like, you could have spider bots walking all over these sets because they look pretty empty. Mm-hmm. But like, I guess you could do it with projection mapping. Can you imagine if they did 3D projection mapping?
Yeah, and an AR in your glasses.
No, not AR. Like, just flat out 3D, but there's no screens.
Yeah, but they have the goggles. So if you have the AR over top of like projection mapping,
Well, they're wearing 3D glasses. No, I'm saying instead of AR, they're wearing 3D glasses, and instead of a screen, it's projection mapped 3D.
That's insane. Could that happen?
Could that be a thing? Because like, the problem with 3D rides is blending the screens into the reality. What if there is no screens, but it's still 3D projection?
That's interesting. I hope that happens, because now I want to see that work.
Because I can't see the augmented reality supporting like the whole ride. It's one thing if you're going to do like a heads-up display with augmented reality like Mario Kart, but like, to have the spider bots and all the webbing and everything be only in your glasses, there's no way they're going to line that up.
No, but they can do, if say it's not the 3D thing that you're talking about, if they do the goggles and the augmented reality is just the web and everything else is projection, that would work.
Okay. So a combination of both.
Yeah. But now I want to see the projection mapping done in 3D now. See what you did?
Yeah. I may have just cracked the code here.
I want to see that happen now.
Did I? Because I've never seen anyone post about that. Leave a comment if you've heard how they're doing the spider bots in the webbing.
Yes, please. And then... Pim Test Kitchen.
Pim Test Kitchen. Every time I hear about it, I think of the scene in Rick and Morty when they're little bits. And it's like, come on down to little bits. You got a tiny mouth? We got tiny food. Here's some tiny eggs and some tiny sausage, and tiny pancakes.
That's funny.
So like, I just imagine it's going to be like Remy's Bistro, where everything's really big for the scenery, but that the food comes out and it's tiny.
I think I want to see like mixed things, like random things that should be tiny, really big, and huge things small. And then I want large food though. Like, give me a giant burger.
Tiny little slider burgers with a side of like one huge French fry.
No, just watch them give you a regular size burger and be like, this is a large slider.
I'm gonna spit out my coffee.
anyway, large slider.
They kind of touched on the Doctor Strange show, which is in the ruins of a California sanctum.
Yeah, it seems weird. We just made up a new sanctum.
They're playing up the meet and greets, like the first chance to meet Ant-Man and the Wasp. Then we'll have Black Panther, the Guardians, Thor, and Loki might show up. Iron Man 2. This was interesting. They said, as the Avengers assemble from all over time and space, you will get a chance to meet Iron Man. And I'm like, oh, he's coming from a different time period. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Iron Man ride that exists, what is it, Hong Kong?
Yes. Maybe.
The sound of like they have on that ride is not very good.
It's just, not that bad.
It's not.
No, bad. Yes, it is Hong Kong because it has. They just updated that and they put the new castle in and Frozen, which aren't built yet. But they're cool, in the new Iron Man ride.
That's cool. That new castle looks awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it has a name. Castle of Magical Dreams. And there'll be a Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique inside.
Wow, they use the word magical. Color me surprised.
At least it doesn't say wish.
Yet.
So... I think the biggest news out of the Avengers campus is that there will be an Avengers ride at California Adventure, an e-ticket attraction, because we'd heard that they'd kind of given up on their original idea, which maybe would have been a coaster. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they were going to do something with the Guardians coaster technology, and somehow they just gave up. I have a feeling maybe that they watched Endgame and they realized they killed off all the characters on the ride. So they breathe. or Black Panther did better than they expected, and they wanted to redo the ride to do something with Wakanda.
Yeah.
Because that's what they...
Quinjets and Wakanda are supposed to be involved now, right?
Yeah. So here's my guess. It says it's the first time stepping aboard a Quinjet. I think that's the pre-show.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think that we get in a Quinjet the same way that Rise of the Resistance takes us up to the ship in a shuttle. And then we strap on jetpacks and we fly around Wakanda. And that's the real ride.
That's awesome.
It's sad it's a whole new ride system, but I have a feeling it's Flight of Passage. But instead of straddling the Banshee, we're going to sit down and pretend to have rocket packs on, a shoulder harness comes down, mm-hmm. and somehow it'll rotate you forward or whatever. And then you fly on rocket packs through a battle.
It would be like a flying coaster where you lock in standing up and then they flatten you out.
Right. Exactly. That or 45 degrees, or you could even rotate while you're flying. Mm. You're sitting up, Iron Man kind of sits up when he's flying, and then mm-hmm. he can fly forward. And so imagine going up and down with Flight of Passage, because it's got the 10-foot up and down. It's got the motion base, so you go side to side. But then also add in the yaw to go forward, pitch forward and backward. Mm-hmm. I think that could be a very realistic Rocketeer ride.
Yeah, fun ride. Fun ride.
Oh my God. Can you imagine if this had come out when Rocketeer was popular?
Don't tease. It should come out still. Rocketeer should still be popular.
So phase one at Disneyland will open in 2020. That'll include the tiny kitchen and the Spider-Man however ride and the meet and greets, and then phase two with the Avengers ride. There's no date given for that. I'm thinking we are 500 to 600 years away.
Of course. Everybody get excited now.
Yeah. So, but I am excited for that. I think that that's what the land should be opening with. Going back to the parks and merchandise panel, let's talk about Target for the next 20 minutes.
No, let's not, please.
Bullseye the dog got the biggest applause of the night.
Yeah, dog, like you said earlier, because dog. Yeah,
people love dogs. People love corporate mascots.
Yeah, I don't love dogs, so I have three of them.
All right, let's just skip through some stuff. Shanghai, they talked about Zootopia more, but not really. The Frozen themed land in Hong Kong was interesting, because not only are they getting Frozen Ever After, but they're getting a Wandering Oaken Sliding Sleighs ride.
Yeah.
Which is like a roller coaster. And yeah. It looks like Mine Train. Like, exactly.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a little longer and a little more fun.
It's a fun ride. Yeah. It just needs to be longer. To Disney World, let's spend 20 minutes talking about Disney Genie.
No, it's not.
Okay. I think that the key point is that they've made it so complicated to plan your trip that they had to invent artificial intelligence to help you plan your trip.
Yeah, exactly. For those of you that don't have the patience to deal with our normal stuff, here's something to help you.
It's just adding more complicated layers. They already streamlined the planning process on their normal website. They have a little line and it's step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. And it's plan this, get your fast passes, so now they're just doing that, but with the genie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Genie, I wish for better fast passes.
I am excited though for the that new DVC resort. Looks really nice, and the Cirque du Soleil show I'm super curious about. I love Cirque shows.
So. Did they give the name for the Cirque du Soleil show?
I don't recall. All I know is
they talked for 15 minutes, but they didn't really give us anything.
Yeah, I know that. Well, they basically gave you the general idea of the storyline, which Anna Mae and his daughter and all that. But I don't know what. Ooh, puppies! I don't know what the name is at all. So.
Reflections, a Disney Lakeside Lodge built on the graveyard of River Country. It does look really nice. I was getting concerned, especially with the DVC resorts and the new towers built at the other resorts. I was getting worried it wasn't Disney enough.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for this one because, like, they're embracing the full on, yeah, we're in the woods, but remember Bambi? Like, the lobby has Pocahontas and there's Fox and the Hound pictures everywhere. Like, I want Disney in my Disney hotels. I'm not afraid to embrace it.
I like the Tiana restaurant idea too a lot.
That is a great idea. Everyone's been requesting it, and it's definitely going to get people to go because it's not going to be the most convenient hotel to go eat dinner at. So you really need a good draw. And I think that's the best draw you could have is Tiana. Like, she runs a restaurant at the end of the movie. It's a no brainer. But you know what else?
Exactly.
What else is a no brainer though? Having their New Orleans restaurant in their New Orleans resort.
Yeah, that would make sense.
They have the Port Orleans resort already. It would seem like that's the place to put this.
But let's look at Tomorrowland and discuss how their logic works. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, Buzz Lightyear is from the future.
Monsters, Inc. is not.
It's futuristic because there's a teleporter that you walk through to watch a comedy show.
No.
That's futuristic.
No.
Restaurant is a great idea. I don't care where they put it. It's a great idea. Yeah, it's going to have good views over the water. It's going to get, like, my DVC home resort is Copper Creek, just across, you know, Bay Lake at the Wilderness Lodge. So it's not like it's a quick little 5-minute boat ride for me to go to the Princess and the Frog restaurant. I'm cool with that.
Yeah, that's rad. I'm really excited for that. What else was there?
Star Wars, not hotel. The Star Wars experience.
The Land Cruise.
The Land Cruise. Like, it didn't really tell us anything that we don't already know. You know, like it's a 2-night Star Wars experience. It's a cruise ship type thing where everyone boards and departs together. But now we know the name. It's Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser.
Yeah, the Halcyon.
Yeah, I have no idea how to spell that. Sorry. I put that in my notes and I have no idea what I'm doing.
I see the awesome spelling you went with. There's definitely a Y involved, just so you know.
Okay. I like the way that they call it a port day when you go to Batuu. That's clever.
It's kind of ridiculous, but it is clever.
They kind of explained how, you know, you'll visit the bridge and learn how all the controls for the ship works, which is
pretty,
like,
funny. You could control the bridge like the Millennium Falcon in the whole hotel. Well,
what's going to happen is you're scheduled to visit the bridge. The people that work in there, probably every hour they have another group coming in. It just so happens that while you're visiting the bridge is when you're attacked.
Of course.
If that's when the First Order, like, comes and attacks, and that's when, just so happens to be when you're there. So you get to all hands on, you know, deck, and we need to get to your battle station. So
it just would be more fun if all the rooms started shaking and tilting. That'd be pretty great.
Yeah. So it's weird. Like, can you imagine working there and, like, every hour you have to pretend you're being invaded?
Not again. Yeah. The one disgruntled dude in the back. Oh, here we go again.
Oh no, this is the first time this has ever happened today. It's going to be neat. It's going to be thousands of dollars. I will never do it. It's unfortunate. Yeah. I hope they allow videotaping so I can see. It sounds really fun, but I don't know how many. I guess that's why they only have 85 cabins, because I just don't see how this is going to. This is not for everyone.
Yeah, definitely not.
I feel like they should have done two different hotels, and they should have done, like, just a lightly themed Art of Animation style Star Wars hotel, and then the Star Wars experience attached to it.
Yeah, or they could just do, like, specific areas of a hotel.
Right. Like, the cruise ship idea is really cool, but you know what else is really cool? A Star Wars hotel.
Yeah, that you can afford.
Like, that has a pool, like, shaped like R2-D2. Just full on just a hotel. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, where the windows are windows and not screens.
Exactly.
I think there's room in this world for both. That's all I'm saying.
Epcot. So excited. Epcot.
Epcot. All right. All of the love. Epcot, people were, like, disappointed in the Epcot talk. And all I could say was, this is awesome. They didn't announce the destruction of much. Like, they're not destroying that much stuff. Isn't that great? No. What do you think of the neighborhoods?
I'm fine with it. It's pretty much just splitting up Future World, and it just kind of defines the areas a little more than it. The areas For those of you that don't know, the left and the right side, or east and west, were already themed. One's a nature side and one was like a technology and science side. So if you didn't pick up on that, that's not my fault. So the neighborhoods are just...
I mean, it was kind of... The right side, though, which is west, which is very confusing to people.
Yeah, I know.
Because normally east is on the right because of where north is.
Yeah, but Epcot faces south.
They finally flipped the map around at Hollywood Studios. Because for a while, the paper maps were flipped to match True North, to match the app. Yeah. And then when Star Wars opened, they flipped it back around because too many people are confused.
Yeah,
it's like if I enter the park, I want to see the back of the park at the top of the map, not True North. It's just too confusing. So I think they're going back to, and you know what? Maybe having the names East and West is going to be even more confusing if the map switches back.
Yep.
But it wasn't just nature on the right, because Imagination and what was going to be like the movie pavilion is on the top right.
Yeah, so, but it was the original nature. Well, the original stuff was more like natural kind of things. So nature is an imagination. You have to be a living thing to have an imagination.
That's a stretch.
And so, it's not, though. But even the walkways, one side is rounded and one side is more angular.
So the designations are World Showcase stays the same. Future World is dead. It's now World Discovery, World Celebration, and World Nature.
Which I'm totally cool with.
I did notice that the Imagination Pavilion is split down the middle. So that the bathrooms are in nature and the ride and the 3D movie is in celebration. So Perfect. We're celebrating Imagination, but we're also remembering that going potty is natural.
Yeah. Oh, and also your imagination goes a little crazy if you go to the World Celebration area and drink a lot.
That's true. It's true. So it's almost East and West becoming Discovery in nature, except for that one ride, which is split for some reason. Like, they can't decide where they want to put it, I think.
That's fine.
What do you think of the new icons, the new logos for all the rides?
I love all of it. I even like the new Epcot logo. It's like old but new.
Yeah. Well, it's 90% the old one. They just rounded the C.
I think there's a connection that's a little different too.
Oh, yeah. They connected two of the letters. I love awesome. Bringing that back. I thought they were going to bring back the word center. Like, I knew they were going to do something to appease the fans, a lot of fan service, bringing back the icons. And I thought they were going to bring back the word center, but instead they just brought back the old logo. Yeah. That's good enough.
And the new icons look good too. They look like they fit right in. It's amazing.
Did you notice they're color coded?
I didn't actually pick up on that.
Like, if you look at the neighborhood map, let me pull it up here. They have like World Showcase is orange and World Nature is yellow and Celebration is blue and Discovery is red. The actual icons are in those color schemes.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
It's like, you know, the designation of each of them just by looking at the color of the icon now.
That's really cool.
Well, I think one of the biggest, they kind of breezed through it, but I think the biggest announcement is the update to Spaceship Earth.
Yeah. Which needs it.
Like, they'll talk for 30 minutes about Journey of Water inspired by Moana, but they just breezed right through the biggest update to Spaceship Earth that they've done since it opened.
And yeah, and they're swapping it from communication to storytelling, right? So a little more
technically,
specific.
Technically, right now it's invention. It already lost its communication with the last update because now we're inventing the future. So
that video.
Like, the whole time, Judi Dench is like, we've been inventing the future since the time of the cavemen. Like we've always been inventing the future. I'm like, no, it's communication. You just changed the lines.
Thank the Phoenicians. I'm looking forward to this. And I hope... So some of the stuff we saw really early on, it looked like they were actually going to expand the building a little bit in the back.
Yeah, they're definitely tearing that down and redoing the post-show.
I can't wait to see what happens with this. I love that attraction.
I feel like they're going to retrack it, whether they use the same ride system or not. I don't know, but they need to. It's so clunky right now. It's like...
It's super clunky, especially going down. Going down backwards, that section is real loud.
It used to be so smooth when it first opened. So I'm interested to see, because it's rumored to take like 2 years to do, and they're not going to start till January, because they didn't tell us that. They announced very few details and they didn't say when it was going to close or when it was going to reopen or what they were going to do. They just said the new theme is storytelling throughout history and that we will be followed by a magical story light that will help to explain. And if it wasn't for the concept art and the visuals on screen, I would have no idea what Bob Chapek is talking about. But it looks like they're going to have projection mapping throughout the whole ride, kind of follow us and take different forms.
And they're going to update some of the scenes that are there, like the classic scenes, which are cool. That's cool with me.
Yeah.
I just wonder where the newsboy is going to go this time.
They're completely taking that scene out. But I think that's the first.
Because he keeps moving.
It's the first scene. I think that they're completely from that point on, they're completely redoing the ride. But the earlier scenes, like the cavemen, they're going to keep. And that was in the concept art where they're going back to the old version where it was more about storytelling and communication and away from the cave paintings, which, by the way, that was like projection mapping. They have the cave paintings animated right now.
Yeah, that's.
But in the concept art, you could see they're doing more like a campfire story. And like he's telling a story the campfire smoke is turning into the story he's telling on the walls. So like that's a great projection mapping effect. But then from that, it's going to morph into the next scene. And then from that, it's going to morph into the next scene. So like it's almost like we're handing down generations of legends and storytelling, and it changes the story light. It's just a really excited. It's just a dumb way of explaining that it's going to be a projection mapping effect that morphs as. Can you imagine it turns into ones and zeros by the last scene?
Like the whole exit is just tube of ones and zeros.
It starts as smoke and he's telling a story and it turns into like mammoths and stuff, and then it turns into some Egyptian hieroglyph thing, and then it turns into a stingray for the Pacific. By the way, that is not Moana. It is not. It probably is in the Phoenician scene, unfortunately. That's what it looks like.
It probably is.
But it is Polynesian storytelling has used the stingray as a iconography for, you know, 1,000 years, and that's just going to be part of our storytelling. I don't think the Imagineers would have included it had they not made Moana. Like, it's fresh in their mind, you know?
Yeah, probably.
But it is definitely, I'm saying it now, it is definitely not, it's not like Moana's on that boat and all of a sudden here's Moana's grandma. Like, I think that's just happens to be a stingray because they're telling a story about something.
Just randomly, How Far I'll Go just starts playing in that one scene.
Oh my God, it would be so awkward.
And then right in that area, they're doing the statue, right? Of Walt looking out.
Yeah. When you exit the ride.
So cool.
You exit the ride. There's Dreamer's Point with the Walt Disney statue and a wishing tree and a story fountain.
That seems backwards.
I think it should be a wishing fountain and a story tree. A
story tree.
I think they're trying to distract us from the fact that they're tearing down the Fountain of Nations.
But even what's going there seems kind of cool. So
I like all the trees. I like the green space. I think what in the 80s, what was considered futuristic was concrete. And now what is considered futuristic is bringing natural spaces. Like, you know, in New York, there's like old train bridges that are not utilized anymore. And they turn them into like elevated gardens. And I think that it's a great way to kind of bring some green into what is otherwise, you know, a giant concrete.
I'm totally into this three-level thing they're building where the Fountain of Nations is. It's cool.
It's about time that they build a festival pavilion that exists year-round.
With a nice greenery up top for you to pay extra to stand on.
It'll be free during the day, and you can go get beer up there and enjoy the nice park. But yeah, at nighttime, that is their new dessert party area where you can watch the Lagoon show over everyone's heads. But that's going to be like, it looks good. It's like a retro mid-century, almost Jetsons looking building.
Yeah,
like it's what the future would have looked like. And I like it. And I think the green space on the top is very modern.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's cool. I think it's a good idea.
I'm all for it.
And then I'm also excited, even though it's silly and it's just a little walkthrough thing. I am actually kind of excited for the Journey of Water. I think it looks cool. Yeah, because it looks cool. They have all the lights and stuff. I think at night it'd be a cool little place to walk through.
Well, yeah, they have like the water that pours down where you put your hand in front of it and it makes music. Like you put your hand under the water, like they have at every interactive playground ever. Yeah, no, I think it'll be fine. It kind of reminds me of the walkthrough they do for the butterfly garden at Flower and Garden.
Where it's
peaceful, but it's tiny. Like this on a larger scale, I'm fine with that. A nice little peaceful place to walk around with my festival beer, sure.
Exactly. You're reading my mind. That's what I'm saying. I'm excited for it. I think it looks cool.
I think the real reason they're doing it, though, is to trick people into going to the Living Seas. It starts in World Celebration, kind of near Dreamer's Point at the exit to Spaceship Earth. and it kind of curves you around and down, and it spits you out right in front of the Living Seas with Nemo and friends, because there's no direct walkway to it right now. But by removing the old interventions building there on the side, it's like, hey, oh, look, there's a thing in front of you. Why don't you go do that?
Yeah, I think hopefully after they do all the stuff they announced, I hope they give like even like the Living Seas and Imagination, those pavilions especially need some attention after this is all done.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think with the 40th anniversary coming up to Epcot, I think we have some new pavilions and some updates to existing pavilions. They just didn't announce it this time.
Yeah, I think they got enough on their hands right now, too, that they don't need to. But I'm just hoping for it later on down the road, because all this stuff seems, like I said, I'm super excited for all this stuff. So then what else did they do?
The Awesome Planet film opens in the old Circle of Life Theater January. They have a lot of movies opening January.
Yeah, is that when all the 360 things are opening too? Is January?
Not all of them. The Beauty and the Beast sing along is, and the Canada one is, but not China. Right. Wondrous China has no opening date, but that'll be the seamless one, so it'll take longer.
That's going to be kind of cool.
And you know, last D23 they announced a lot of new stuff, like a lot of rides. And this year, it's more about, it's a building year. This is a sports term. I think I'm using it correctly. It's a building year. They have to explain to us how they're reorganizing the park, and they don't really want to focus on new rides because they still haven't built the current new rides. So Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, got a name?
Yeah, it's a name.
Maybe Rewind has to do with going back in time, like we've been saying, and seeing like some old Epcot stuff, or maybe it's just because it's the first backwards launched coaster at Disney.
I don't know, but it looks cool. I'm super interested about how that's going to feel riding those cars, those coasters.
It's interesting. I was worried it was going to be too close to like Rock and Roller Coaster, but by having it go up instead of a flat launch, it's an upward launch, but then also backwards, it's totally different than Rock and Roller Coaster.
I'm wondering about doing things like taking tight bank turns, but being focused off to a side or something like that at a specific scene, like something like that, how that would feel on a coaster.
Yeah. I wonder how nauseating this is going to be. We got Mission Space already. And now we got this one spinning around and going fast.
It'd be like drifting on a roller coaster. Like it seems like an interesting sensation. I want to try it.
Well, there's two parts on, one part at the end of the Gringotts coaster that where it spins while you go up.
Yeah.
And it's like the best part of the ride for me. I wish the whole ride was like that. So this is going to be like that, but with like lots of planetarium scenes.
So cool. I'm excited for that ride.
Space 220. That got a name.
I'm excited for that too.
It's the worst kept secret. Cause I think in November I reported on that being the name.
Yeah, I think you did too. It's a horrible name too.
I get it,
but I don't like it.
It's confusing because it's opening close to 2020 and it's Space 220. And I keep wanting to say 2020, but it's because it's orbiting Epcot at 220 miles above the Earth's surface. Yeah, did you see the concept art has the space elevator in the concept art for
Epcot? Yeah, the space elevator looks amazing too. Everyone looking over the railing.
Like the actual concept art for Epcot in all the updates, the space elevator above the building as if it's really there. It would blow my mind if they really built the space elevator.
So good.
But it reminds me of the Mission to the Moon, Mission to Mars attraction, where you have the viewport at the bottom and the top.
Yep. And the whole, your seat shook. That was about as exciting as it got.
You think they're going to do this on the way out too? Like if you eat too much or drink too much, this is going to be nauseating.
It's going to be great.
it's a real elevator, so you're going to feel it.
Way back before they left the doors open for the exit of Seabase Alpha, I did stay. Well, after it closed on one side and reopened on the other immediately, I was like, really do anything.
This could open on the same side because it's a real elevator.
So
it's only going up one floor, but it at least it's not a fake elevator, you know?
Yeah, it's so cool. I like the interior concept artwork. Looks great. I'm excited for that. It looks fun.
It's going to be expensive, but at least I'll do it. It's something I can afford. It's not Star Wars Hotel. And it's opening this winter, supposedly.
Great. Play Pavilion for kiddies. That means
play! Exclamation mark. I think it's a good idea. They need something because they're sandwiched in between two rides that little kids can't go on. So this is something for them to do with grandma while they wait for the roller coaster. While the older kids are riding. So they made it sound exciting. like they're talking about the two attractions that we know about so far, and they're like, you can help legendary fashion icon Edna Mode on her quest to rid the world of uninspired style and make a splash competing in a water balloon fight hosted by Huey, Dewey, and Louie. And it's like, and Webby. I don't know who Webby. I don't watch DuckTales. I'm sorry. The new version. It looks really good. I've seen one episode, and I love the animation.
To be honest, I think it'd be more funny if they did Edna Mode and all you did was run around and rip capes off people. No capes.
That looked like one of the small, they're keeping like all the structures in there from when it was the festival center and stuff. And there's like one of the smaller little theaters looks like the Edna Mode thing. And there's like little display tablets at all the seats. So you can like design in at the same time that she's teaching you. Huey, Dewey, and Louie like water balloon fight. It's like everyone has a Wiimote and it's just a screen. Like you're not really in a water balloon fight. It's a big screen attraction.
Boo. Yeah.
But there'll be like meet and greets in there. And I think there's one main theater that does like a movie type thing. And
I'm sure it's going to be fun.
There's dancers. There'll be stuff to do. They're bringing the snack bar back. That's all that matters to me.
Oh, that's great.
Because they need a quick service on that side.
They do. I think it's awesome. It's going to be fun.
I mean, that and the Guardians coaster are opening in 2021, but they didn't give exact dates yet. They did give an exact date, though. Well, sort of. I misspelled summer. Remy's Ratatouille Adventure is opening in summer 2020. Yay!
Yay! A duplicate ride.
Hey, I'm excited. That's like my favorite Pixar. That is my favorite Pixar movie.
I'm more excited for the food.
the creperie?
Yeah, more food.
More crepes?
Yep, that's fine with me.
It's crazy that it's a table and a quick service.
I know.
Maybe the quick service is just a window with outdoor seating.
That'd be nice too, and the rare occasion you get a really nice day.
For that one day a year. It opens summer 2020 also.
It's great. I like that they
added it all to the back of the pavilion. I think that's awesome. although they are taking up an entire expansion plot, so that's one less country we'll ever get. But come on, they're not opening new countries.
No. They have a huge tent that they said was going to be temporary that they keep doing stuff in.
Yeah, which they're not tearing down to build the new Cherry Tree Lane at the UK Pavilion.
Because they're right next to each other.
They're not. That giant tent thing behind there, what is it, the Showplace Pavilion or whatever?
Yeah.
They're not going to tear that down. They're going to build this UK addition to the left and back into the left.
So cool, though. I think it's awesome they're doing that.
What do you think the Mary Poppins attraction is going to be?
What is it? The Stories with Belle thing? Probably something.
Enchanted Tales with Belle.
Yeah, that one. Kids, I didn't do that thing.
You're on the same page as me. It's an enhanced meet and greet.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna be much. I think it's still cool. I'm looking forward just to walk down the street. If they let me up on Admiral Boom's house, though, that'd be fun. Cannons.
Set off the cannons.
Cannons.
Can you imagine every hour on the hour? That would be cool.
I volunteer. I feel
like just smoke and stuff come out like Pirates of the Caribbean type cannons. I'd be cool with that.
So good. Yeah, it'd be so good. I think it's great they're building that, though. It's cool that you can walk down there.
I mean, it seems like even the two pieces of concept art they showed were like two completely different pieces of concept art. It seems like there's competing ideas and they haven't even decided which one they're going to do yet. One has a breezeway walkway in between the houses that seems to go behind it. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was the carousel idea. Because the idea was they're going to do like a carousel that while you're riding it, it somehow transforms into an animated world. But it's still a carousel. You're just going in a circle. But like when you go past a certain point, there's like screens on the background with like cartoon characters and stuff.
Then you come
back around and it's reality in the front. Like that might have been one of the ideas. It certainly wasn't going to be the Jolly Holiday idea where you start in a carousel and then it's a dark ride. I don't think they were ever going to do that because they don't love us.
No, nope, not even a little bit.
But the second piece of concept art, the one that has the Mary Poppins Returns characters in it and the lamplighter, I think that's that one. You just enter the house and there's multiple rooms and you meet Mary Poppins. What the rumor is, she comes out of her bag. Like you're in the room and her bag is sitting on the table and then she just like climbs out of it. It's like, hello, everyone.
That's not creepy. Today we're going to be making
a kite. And then they make a kite. You make a kite together.
That's not creepy at all. I'm just going to climb out of a bag. It's cool though.
It would be great if it was a ride and you just dove into a bathtub. Yeah, so temper your expectations. I think the street's going to look great, but Mary Poppins meet and greet is very popular at the UK Pavilion. I think they're just moving it inside, essentially.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it again, just have the be able to walk down Cherry Tree Lane is cool, in my opinion. I like that.
So during the presentation, one thing that got me was Epcot Forever. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in Harmonious, which is the name for the new show, the real show, the Happily Ever After in Epcot show. But Epcot Forever, just because I know they're going to have like music from World of Motion and music from Old Imagination and Horizons and stuff, like fireworks with Horizons music is playing. Like, it's kind of awesome.
It's kind of perfect is what it is.
Like, it is definitely... fan service to say goodbye to Epcot.
Yeah, but can we
remember when Rob was on our show and he's like, "Yeah, kiss Epcot goodbye forever." This is the full name.
Oh, but, man.
Like special effects kites with the jet skis. Okay, that looks cool. Fireworks, fine. But you got a song that goes veggie veggie fruit fruit.
Exactly. Like,
during fireworks,
it's gonna be stuck in my. That's gonna be stuck in my head all day now.
Because the Happily Ever After type Harmonious show is, you know, it might have drones and all kinds of cool LED screens or whatever, but it's just going to be weird world versions of existing like movie music. And I love that Epcot Forever is Epcot music.
That name is weird too, Harmonious.
Well, I think it's playing into what they've always done, Illuminations.
Yeah, I think Illuminations was better.
Because it illuminates the nations.
It's a little more clever than Harmonious.
Harmonious. It looks, because they capitalized the U and the S, it looks like Harmony US.
I know. It's not good.
The United States of Harmonious.
I expect better from you guys, these names. At least, though, I will say it doesn't say Wish or Magic or anything.
That's true.
So
it doesn't even have a subtitle.
Nope.
Well, maybe when they do the second version.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be Harmonious, a celebration of Moana. So
I was going to say a celebration of Illuminations.
It's just they bring it back with drones.
Oh, man. Yeah.
The last thing, though, is that they are going to do the Preview Center and the Odyssey building starting October 1st.
So cool. I can't wait.
And they'll have that model that was at the expo. It's possible that October 1st, when that Preview Center opens, there might be some other things that they didn't get to yet.
Yeah,
that
I think
will be announced.
I think Coco is pretty much inevitable, kind of.
I'm
not saying I'm excited for it, but the ride's so short. But I kind of think it's going to happen.
I don't think so.
I hope not.
I think that they have that weird puppet.
Yeah, I know they do.
That comes out during mariachi band.
I know they do.
I think they might expand upon that and do like a meet and greet or bring out an outdoor show or even clear some of the vegetation on the right side and build like a permanent meet and greet space or something. But I just don't see them redoing that ride because they have so much other stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm not saying it would happen soon either. I think it would happen when they're done with all this stuff, if it's going to happen at all, when they go back and start touching on older pavilions. Like Imagination. I'm not expecting it anytime soon, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if it happens.
Now, I was surprised they didn't do any announcements for Animal Kingdom or even touch on any of the anniversary stuff for 2021.
Yeah.
Like they showed a little graphic and they said, we're going to have new cupcakes,
yay!
Which is what I expect.
Yeah.
But they didn't really get into it. So like, I feel like they were trying to focus on the immediate future and not the future. But like, I think there's a new e-ticket coming to Animal Kingdom. I'm sure we'll get a new parade or something to replace Mouska Dance It for the anniversary.
Oh.
Like there's stuff to be announced that they didn't get to because they spent so long talking about Target.
I blocked out Mouska Dance It. Now it's back in my head. That's horrible. Yeah, Target.
It's a fun dance party. It's just the silliest name.
Target, because malls are dying. We're done. That's it. That's all they had to say.
Yeah. No, they have to have a place to sell the Disney Store merchandise now that there's no such thing as a Disney Store.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm excited about Epcot stuff. I think it's all good.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see all this flushed out.
And they didn't talk about it, but there is some concept art for the changes to the intervention side that they're keeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like the electric umbrella is getting turned into like a different kind of restaurant. It's going to have a completely redone interior. It's going to have a new name. It looked like there was almost like a some kind of world map on the wall or something, and an open style kitchen. Like, it looks neat in the concept art. Mm-hmm. And the mouse gear is definitely getting changed and looks like it's going back to its original format a little bit. I hope they bring back the second story in the elevator. I thought that was so cool when I was little. But yeah, they're keeping that side, but they're repainting all of the stupid paint swatches back to white. And that's all that matters to me. It's going to be so lopsided, though, to keep that left side and then completely obliterate the right side. But it is going to look great with that festival center.
It is. I think it's a little weird to lose the symmetry, but I think it's all worth it when you're walking through. It'll be a little different and better. But Epcot, it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for that. Is that it?
That is
shirts,
it. So
Patreon. Apparently.
Check out, that's what I wrote. And then I wrote the end. Check out our be part of the rumor crew at Park Stop with the teespring.com/stores/theme-park-stop.
Yeah, there's gonna be a link somewhere. There's gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, if wherever the show notes exist, there's a link. And become a patron today at patreon.com/theme-park-stop. You'll get episodes of the podcast early and other perks. We're trying to get to that next goal so we can do live trivia nights for real prizes.
So fun. So I want to do that. Come on.
Jump on board.
Come on, come on, come on. I want to get to there.
Yep.
All right. Bye, kids.
Bye.